Hey, what's good, y'all? It's Kenny. I just wanted to give you all a disclaimer before we get into this great episode of Henny with Kenny, featuring Christina Love Lee, co-hosted by, of course, Cynthia. I just wanted to let you all know that during this episode, we will be discussing depression and suicide. There is no, absolutely no reason for anyone to be depressed for having these feelings or thoughts. However, throughout this episode, we will be discussing those and ways to rise up out of that. So it's very, very important that you understand that before getting to this episode. In the description for this podcast, I will list several organizations to help you if you are going through these type of feelings, because it's very important to know that there is people out there that care and love you and that will help you get through these type of feelings. Once again, we appreciate everyone that has been supporting the show so far, and we continue to bring on great guests to talk about important topics that we all deal with on the daily basis, but also how to rise up out of those situations, feelings, and things of that nature. So once again, thank you for listening to the show. We appreciate y'all and we love y'all, and enjoy another great episode of Henny with Kenny featuring Christina Love Lee, co-hosted by your girl, Cynthia. Peace.
All right. Hello, everyone, far and near and in between. Welcome to another episode of Henny with Kenny featuring Cynthia.
Hi.
But we have like a Henny with Kenny sandwich here, and in the middle is the filling, unlike no other, is my sister. Unlike no other, my soul sister. I only have like two like soul sisters, and Christina is one of them.
Hello.
And y'all not ready for what's about to go down. I mean, y'all are really.
I'm not ready.
Am I ready?
I don't know if I'm ready.
Am I ready?
I'm not ready, but I'm just ready for this.
Right. Yes.
Because I'm. This is gonna happen.
Right. Yes.
You know. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Everything's going to be all right, like the famous Nutty Bun Nature song.
Yes.
Everything's going to be all right. So we are going to... It's hard to be serious. Okay.
That's a good thing.
Yeah. No, yeah, so it's going to be a good thing. So as Sin knows, because Sin is my partner like no other, and we promised the people more female guests, right?
We did.
And we are delivering on that. I mean, this week, this makes the third wonderful, beautiful female. Technically fourth female on the show. Mm-hmm. So we're working it.
We're working it.
Next week, we're going to have another one, too.
Okay.
But it'll still be like two dudes, too, next week. But...
You know, it's balance.
It's all about balance. It's all about balance. But the thing is, like, it's not even about apples to oranges as far as like how many females you've had compared to males, because all the females have been so strong that they already outnumber the males as far as knowledge and understanding
you
of themselves.
It,
because y'all are way smarter than us. Mm. So
I wanna argue with that.
Sister Christina, tell everybody who you are and what do you do.
Yes, I am a strong, proud woman.
Hello.
Grateful to contribute to this podcast. Henny with Kenny. Hello, IGTV. This is my first IGTV, and
well, this is in the story, so this is not IGTV.
Okay,
story. I don't even know if it does live. Does it do live?
We're gonna learn.
Yeah, we're gonna learn.
Okay.
But
well, this
still
is my
on
first story.
This is a live story.
First live story, and also, believe it or not, my first podcast.
No.
Yes.
Way.
It is my first podcast.
No way.
Yes. Yes.
This is over. No.
No, this is my first podcast, believe it or not. So I'm really, really grateful for this experience.
Wow. Yeah. But before we start, you have brought us a treat.
Yes.
So
good gifts.
But I feel like we need to make an introduction. I don't know if we've properly introduced to everybody.
Oh, Christina Lovely?
Oh, that was my introduction.
Oh, that was her introduction.
But what she does and
Tell everybody.
I feel like once we get into the podcast, people kind of get an idea. My name is Christina Lovely, and then we'll unfold.
And the name explains itself.
We'll Lovely. Unfold Jesus. And uncover. I feel like in the past I've gone into saying I'm this and I'm that and we'll uncover as we go.
Totally fair.
Go along.
Okay, we're gonna rush it. Like I said, we're gonna take it slow.
Yes. And I come bearing gifts.
I've
been under the weather. I feel like a lot of us have been.
Yeah, it's the change. It's the
change in weather. And so I've concocted this tea. It's a recipe from a nun that I'm really close with.
I mean, everyone needs a good nun in their life.
Right, yes. And I have a very, very close friend who's a nun, who happens to be a nun. And she's given me this recipe, and I really can't give the secret away.
Oh, man, because we're going to ask so the people come.
But it involves water.
Okay.
Hot water. It involves honey. And it involves citrus.
Okay.
Of sorts.
Okay.
And the beautiful thing is, because this is Henny with Kenny.
Yeah.
We're going to add the finest of
yes, nothing but the best. Nothing but the best.
Brandy, which happens to be.
As everyone knows on the show, we drink nothing but the best of the cognac.
The cognac. So.
Even though I have stepped it up for this show. Sin, I didn't tell you when I texted you this morning. So we did step it up to Hennessy Black for this show.
Okay.
That's just because I ran out.
Well, that's a treat.
Only the best, though. It's okay.
Because I ran out of the other Hennessy, so.
So if you see.
Well, you gotta blame that on Simeon, Kai, and Raina. Ratchet Raina.
So if you see the stuff, you know.
Ooh, like actual citrus floating. Is like in here.
It's actual citrus. Yeah, wow. Like shaved citrus. In Japanese, we call it yuzu, right? In Korean, you call it
really
yuja, right?
Okay.
So,
because you said in Korean it's named one thing, and
right. In Korean, it's yuja. Mm-hmm. In Japanese, it's yuzu.
Okay.
But it's very tasty.
Okay.
And
smells great.
We're going to add the ultra secret ingredient, which happens to be the...
Oh, okay. I thought there was more in there.
No, it's more there. Pointing to you, Kenny.
No, I'm done.
So no.
Are we going to tap the bottle?
I mean, you can. You can tap it.
All right.
Maybe this made me a new tradition. We'll stop tapping the bottle. Maybe
yes, we
give
must.
Us good luck. You know, yes. Maybe if I tap it some more, I get some more female guests.
All right.
So is
that's
there?
That's mine.
Okay.
All right. We had about. Okay, that's good for me.
Okay.
This is yours. So.
Okay.
Like, is it like a part of?
Sheesh, Kenny.
I mean, yeah, we're alcoholics on the show. You have no idea. Luckily, we don't do this show every day.
Right.
Me and Cynthia are being meetings.
Oh my God.
I'm not lying.
All right.
We're functioning.
Next week is going to be rough.
So I guess this is like the equivalent of a hot toddy, but but extra
and
fancy.
And I've just gotten into hot toddies because of being sick this year.
Right.
So like I keep like a big old bottle of like Jameson in the house.
Right.
And I asked Alexa how to make them because she's the only person I really learned from in this world, and she taught me.
Right, but this is like ultra fancy hot toddy. Okay. So cheers.
Cheers.
To health and wealth and abundance.
Yes.
Cheers to you guys as well.
Oh, Lord.
Right. Wow. Oh, Lord is right.
Wow.
Yep.
Wow, and you're not going to share
so,
her
no,
makeup.
Absolutely not.
I am seeing in color.
Oh, man.
So if you all want the secret, please... write to Hennessy and tell them to reach out to Henny with Kenny. And we need a sponsorship.
Yeah, we need sponsorship. You know,
wow.
Yeah, this isn't
great. This is great. I'm sorry.
I had to actually, I had some mucus when I went to the bathroom for the show and I, spit it up. But now I'm, super clear. Like, you can feel it in your nose.
This just touches
incredible.
Your soul.
My soul feels better. And I was kind of having a bad day a little bit earlier. But I feel a whole lot better now. So it's interesting that we did this part right in the beginning of the show because there's a part in the show where we give a toast.
Okay.
So we give a toast to, it can be somebody you know, it can be somebody you don't know, but that person, or maybe it's a group of people, that are doing something positive.
Mm-hmm.
They are pushing the culture forward. They are pushing human human existence forward.
Mm-hmm.
So we like to give them a shout out on the show. So who are you giving a toast to today?
This might sound really cheesy.
That's fine.
But I would like to give a shout out to just everyone, period, who is doing their best.
Okay.
And who may not be getting the acknowledgement that they truly deserve, but are working in the background to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
We see you. We love you.
Yes.
And we are giving you a toast today.
Yes.
She's so precious.
She's so sweet. Sin, who are you giving a toast to?
You know what? I'm going
to
give a toast to this nun.
Thank you.
This is delicious.
Yes.
And I need more of it in my life. Wow. I've got many blessings onto her.
Good.
And you tell her that this is great.
Yes, please. Yeah, please send her our regards.
Yeah.
Is she here in the U.S. or is she?
Yep, she's here.
I'm going to have to seek her out.
You're going to have to be friends.
So... I want to give a toast to today. Today, I had the pleasure of hosting. I did a little bit of hosting, but more judging this advertising competition for the Manhattan Early College of Advertising.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just so much fun to watch these young people compete and like present their cases on how to rebrand this certain product.
Mm.
And they all like gave it like their everything. And of course, you know, not everyone can win.
Right.
Yeah.
But the team that won of the participants is actually one of my students.
Wow.
But right. And I go to this competition every year, and every team that wins is always one of my students. So like I was just super happy to see, because she's like 16 now. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, she started with me when she was 15 last summer. But like to see her up there presenting, rocking the mic, her team rocking the mic,
mm-hmm.
like it was just so incredible to see. So I'm proud of her, but I'm also proud of her team, but also even her competitors. I'm proud of them too, because they went up there and gave it their all. So shout out to the entire Manhattan Early College of Advertising. Regardless if you won or you lost, you're still winners to me.
Yes.
And you all will keep pushing it forward, because the great thing about all their presentation was that because they presented like examples of the ads they wanted to make, and all their ads were super diverse. Every single person in their faux ad was like a person of color.
So awesome.
So it was amazing. So there's the flip side of this part. All right.
Okay.
So as you know, in the song Gin and Juice by Uncle Snoop.
All right.
He has a part in the song called, you know, all these N-words brought they cup, but they didn't chip in.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
So these are people that don't get a toast.
Oh.
These are people that are straight trash.
Oh.
These are people that we are going to acknowledge your trashiness.
Oh, my gosh.
Because you don't get none of this Henny. You definitely don't get none of this special Henny tea today.
Oh, my gosh.
No, none of this.
So... we're going to shout them out right now, because they don't get a toast, but we will let them know that they are trash because they brought their cup, but they did not chip in. So who brought their cup but didn't chip in for you today?
Oh, wow.
I can start.
Okay, you
okay,
start.
Okay. And Cynthia, you think about yours while I go. So the people that brought their cup but didn't chip in for me today is almost like the other side of the coin of what you said today. So basically, though, it's going to be like a group. I'm not even going to name anyone, because sometimes on the show we do actually name people. But I'm going to say to everyone that sleeps on people that are dope, people that are giving it their all, and people that don't kiss ass, and people that just do it for the culture and do it to push human existence forward. But all those people that hate on those people or sleep on those people and their skills, you don't get a toast. Period. At all. Don't come around here. Because this is the winner's circle over here. Y'all,
I know that's right.
Y'all take L's. The big L's.
All of them.
All of them. And then some of these. So, who brought their cup but didn't chip in?
Dang.
This part sometimes always ends up political, but you don't have to make it political.
Dang.
I can go.
Go ahead.
There was supposed to be a space flight that was supposed to go out with like an all-woman crew, and then they didn't end up. They're gonna cancel it because they didn't have suits. Like, who was in charge of this? Whoever was supposed to be in charge of the suits, or whoever didn't logistically think this out when they
that was a trash move
said that they were gonna do it. Like, they don't have any of this tea.
No.
Oh, wow. Honey.
You don't get none of the Henny tea.
It's just like, how are you going to... I didn't know about that.
And they're going to blame it on them being female.
Right?
Like, trash. Straight trash. Double V's again.
Go make a suit. Like,
NASA, what are you doing when you're hiring these people? Come on. They don't have that, but then they can create Space Force or whatever dumbness that is. So, yeah. No, you don't get none of this at all. None of this specialty today. Who you got, sis?
Yeah, I'm really like drawing a blank.
But you know, there's someone out there.
It doesn't have to be recent.
It could be someone that did something a long time ago that was horrible.
Like Becky from the second grade.
Yeah, or you know, barbecue Becky that calls the cops on little black kids.
You know what? It's going to come to me during the episode.
Okay.
And then I'm going to tell you.
We're
going
to circle back. Okay. We're going to circle back. So, sis, I mean, I know this, but definitely the world doesn't know, especially the people that listen to this podcast. But when did you start on this artistic journey of yours?
I probably started this music journey.
Mm-hmm.
When I was about 5-6 years old, and that was when my mother bought me my first keyboard.
Okay.
So we were
Casio?
Probably cheaper than a Casio. My mother couldn't afford a Casio back then. I don't think so. I think it was cheaper than that. She said
maybe it was a Basio.
Maybe Basio. I don't know. She said it lit up. And she said, "You're going to play this piano," because I didn't get a chance to play the piano when I was your age, and I'm going to have this come to fruition through you.
Mm-hmm.
So she kind of pushed it on me, and I resented it so much.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why do you want me to play the piano just because you couldn't play it? But in retrospect, of course, in retrospect, and now I'm just like, thank you so much, because I love it. I couldn't see it then.
Right.
So my musical journey started then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, I play the piano, but, I could sing too. Mm-hmm. And that was probably, a few years later in elementary school when one of my teachers caught that. She said, sing that again. You're singing Mary Had a Little Lamb with the little vibrato.
Mm-hmm.
And I dig that. She said, sing that again. So I joined the chorus. I joined the church choir and so on and so forth. And here we are now. I'm just like, can't take the mic away from me, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
If any of you have not had the opportunity to see my sister perform live, then you need to follow her, not now, but right now. and, you know, she posts all her dates and where she's performing. It's normally some really decent-sized venues, so don't think, she's... singing on the train. Now, no disrespect to anybody singing on the train.
There's some really good people.
Yeah, there's some really good people on the train. But you can catch, Sister Christina at a lot of places.
Rockwood.
April 7th. Yeah, exactly. So Rockwood, April 7th, definitely peep her out. If you've never been to one of her shows or you have been to one of her shows, you need to tell your friends to come to her show. Because...
Thanks.
She tears it down, because you look at her, you may have some assumptions, but when she starts to sing, it's like seeing in color for the first time, or it's like sipping this. That's how good she is.
Thank you.
So we'll talk about all her different places where you can follow her, but we're not going to talk about that right now.
Thank
but
you.
You know, look her up. You can find all her videos on YouTube and everything like that. She is definitely an accomplished young woman.
Thank you.
So sis, before your mom put that fake Casio keyboard in your face. What did you want to be when you were growing up?
I was five. I don't know. I think I wanted to be like a Power Ranger. Like,
I mean, look, it's not a bad job. A Care Bear. I don't know how they get paid, right. But they always were fit.
Right. I know what I wanted to be. I wanted to be a princess. I wanted to be a princess. I went to bed every night. I was like, God, I want to wake up and I want to be a princess. Mm-hmm. And I would wake up the next morning and be like, still not a princess. Still not Mama's a princess.
Mama's still shoving this castle in my face.
Right. I wanted to wake up in a castle, mm-hmm. and I didn't want to go to school. I didn't want to have to get on that cheese bus every morning. I just wanted to wake up in a castle. And I think that's what I wanted to do every single day. And I would still have to play the piano. Mm-hmm. I would still have to go to school. I would still have to do this homework. And I think in retrospect now, I wanted to be a princess because in my mind back then, a princess had no cares in the world, like no duties, no...
Didn't pay no taxes.
Ain't no taxes involved.
It's almost like being president of the United States.
Right.
It's like being a princess.
Right. And there was just like this level of escape involved, mm-hmm. you know? So I think that's what I wanted to be. And that aspect of practicing every day while seeing your friends like through the balcony, you know, hanging out outside, that was just so painful for me. Yeah. You know, like I just didn't have a childhood whatsoever. Mm. You know, just practice was the only thing that mattered. Practice, practicing the piano, and also like going to after school programs because...
And playing the piano there too.
Not necessarily. Good. Like, you know, math, multiplication, doing your homework, like the whole Asian way.
Yeah. You said
the
it.
Asian, I said it. She made I you said do it. I said it because my parents, you know, they worked. Yeah. It was like the traditional, I don't want to say stereotypical, but stereotypical.
But they're not really stereotypes if they're actually true. It's more just like, this is what we did. Because sometimes I think when people say the word stereotypical, it's always, there's this negative, like negativity attached to it. When it's like, no, this is how we live. Yeah, did my mom make me do math? Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
So there it is.
And this is what my parents did.
Yeah.
My parents worked at a grocery store to make sure that our bills were paid on time, that we had a roof over our head. Mm-hmm. And that required them being out all day and us not being home because we needed to be in after school because there was nobody to take care of us at home, you know?
Makes sense.
So we had no childhood, you know what I mean?
And I don't know if you're a first generation like me, but like when you have parents that are from another country and try to come here to make it, there's like so much more pressure that they put on you to just like have the opportunities that they didn't necessarily get to have and just like try to push that forward.
Right, So your parents were from?
The Dominican Republic.
Right. So. Mm-hmm. And they were working?
Yeah, they were working really hard, and then they put an emphasis on education and made sure that, you know, had everything that I needed and tried to push me to excel, and, you know.
Were people taking care of you at home while they worked? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So it was just, you know, it's rough to try to make it, but luckily, you know, everybody was able to do their thing. But this is not about me. I just...
And shout out to your parents because they are the sweetest two people.
You met them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the sweetest two people.
They're the best.
You were like, thank you so much for having a reform. I was like, nah, she's doing me the favor. I was like, don't thank me. But they are so, so sweet.
They're
so
dope.
When
they're
you
the best.
See them, please tell them, you know, the really good looking black dude that you know, your big brother, said hello.
I will.
And
I will.
I send like all the love in the world because
I will.
They are so, so very sweet.
Yeah.
They are so, so very sweet.
They're the best.
So, throughout this time, you know, so you're given the piano, your teacher kind of finds out that you do Mary Had a Little Lamb or Row, Row, Row Your Boat, whichever one it was, that you're doing it just a little bit better than the other kids, and they probably were jelly. That's okay. That's a part of life. But you started to progress, right? And you started getting better, and you realized that it wasn't more about the keys, but it was more about the voice. When was that moment that you were like, yeah, I am going to do this with my voice?
It continued to be this duality of vocals and keys. All throughout, like, junior high school and high school, I never stopped playing the piano, and I never stopped singing. My mother was so ambitious. My parents were so ambitious that they sent me to vocal lessons and piano lessons, okay. And they had me audition for both piano, classical piano, and voice for college. And I ultimately went to college for classical piano.
Interesting.
And the breaking point was when I broke my finger in college.
How'd that happen?
So I had an accident because I was also just as ambitious, and I decided I could play both the piano and be captain of the volleyball team.
Ah,
I was playing volleyball like
she was spiking it on my
right,
and something didn't go right.
Right, something didn't go right. I set the ball like I knew how to set the ball, and I wasn't a setter. I was a hitter, and I broke my pinky. I think it was like one of our last games, and I felt something come down and come down the right way. And I was like, oh, that ain't feel right. And it just, my pinky just ended up hanging like this. And I tried to like lift it up. And I was like, oh, that didn't work. It didn't hurt though. It didn't hurt. And so I said, my finger's broken, I think. And I called my mom and I said, Mom, you got to come here right now because something happened. So I went to the hospital, found out my finger was broken. And I went through this period of time where I knew that I wasn't going to be able to play the piano for at least 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that was probably the longest time you hadn't played the piano in your whole life.
Yeah. And then at first I tried to play it off like, oh, wow, I don't have to practice.
I don't have to practice. There is a little party that I'm
right, absolutely. I was drinking that Henny like... I was drinking that Henny. Listen, I don't
probably
think
with like the pinky up too. Just like,
and I got pictures to prove it.
Wow.
I got pictures to prove. You see me in parties like with that splint on my finger.
Yes.
I didn't care. And then there was this other aspect of me like my career as a classical pianist is probably over. And then I just started spiraling downward.
Okay.
Because I felt this incredible amount of shame. Guilt, this feeling that I let down my parents, this feeling of my parents came here from Korea to make sure that my brother, my sister, and I can excel, and I let them down. So I started relying on this other part of my artistic abilities, which was my voice, to essentially get me through this period of depression, this period of, you know, suicidal thoughts and ideations, et cetera, et cetera. And I would play chords because that's all I could do at the time. I can't do my chops while your finger's broken. And then I would start writing these songs. And then someone heard me. And it happened to be a university police officer at the time. And he came to the practice room and he was like, can you run that track back? Because I think he thought I was playing something like on a recorder.
Oh, okay.
Right? He was like, run that back. That sounded good. And I was like, that was actually me singing. He was like, you lying. I was like, that was me. So he was like, play that again then, you know? So I played the song and... His jaw just dropped. He was like, we gotta take you down south. Like we gotta do something with this. And I think I spoke on the last episode of Create TV, and that's when my life just started to change. Because then I signed my first record deal. That's when I met, you know, these people who started helping me to bring my voice out. You know, my first album came out. And I started touring. And yeah, my whole life changed.
Yeah.
You know, I stopped practicing. I stopped practicing the piano. I didn't look back.
Well, I mean, that's just, you know, kind of what the good book says or pastors say or, you know, people that are religious normally say, and just people that even aren't religious say, you know, when one door closes, another door opens.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, you are already in that other house as it is, but I think it was a matter of your love and loyalty to your family that kind of kept you in that other house. And, you know, just, you know, shit happens, as my mom says sometimes, and shit happened. And then you were like, well, I still got this, and I've already been in this house.
Right.
And I think somewhere deep inside, you really liked that other house.
Absolutely. I love that other house.
Because not, and no shade to your parents, like, you know, the piano is being forced on you, but there's a certain freedom when you can figure out a talent on your own, mm-hmm. rather than something like, no, you have to do this. Right. It's almost like, you know, people that go to college and don't go to college.
Right.
You know what I mean? You can't make someone that doesn't want to go to college. Because that's right. how everyone flunks out that first semester. Right. Because deep down inside, they didn't want to go to college. They're not dumb. They just didn't want to go to college. Right. They have a drive to do something.
Right.
But they just don't want to do it on campus and have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars. Right. You
know, and it's not like I never disliked mm-hmm. playing the piano. It's that whenever I would go into the practice rooms mm-hmm. and, you know, open Chopin or yeah. Bach or Beethoven, mm-hmm. I would sit there and I would like flip Beethoven and be like, mm-hmm. oh, it sounds good this way. And I would start like improvising, yeah. making my own stuff up, you know? Uh-huh. And I'm like, maybe this stuff really ain't for me. You yeah. know, I would practice,
yeah.
but I would make my own stuff up, and it would sound completely different, mm-hmm. you know? I will say this, though. Life comes back around full circle,
okay.
because I am, this concert that's coming up mm-hmm. Is just me, wow. My voice, and the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And I found this love, again, coming back to my voice and the piano where it all started, mm-hmm. right? And just remaining true to why I've started what I've started, this whole journey,
yeah.
Because of my loyalty and my dedication for the art, mm-hmm. right? And for the music, for my love of it. And it's not so much about the glitz and the glamour and yeah. and the entertainment of it, yeah. but really because of the love for
yeah.
it, you know?
And that's when it's true. That's when it's true. When it's about the love, like you can see it, and in the music sense, you can hear it. So yeah. in an artistic sense, like you can see it, and you can see that the person takes pride in what they're doing.
Yeah.
It's just so different, especially in the world that we live in now, full of a lot of bullshit. But you can see when people truly love what they're doing,
yeah.
and you can see it so much that you feel it. Mm-hmm. Like, you can feel it in every single note, in every single harmony, in every single hook, in every yeah. single bridge. Like, I'm pretty much explaining all parts of a song. Mm-hmm. but, like, it's a different feeling than when, you know, someone's like, well, I'm just doing this for the gram, or whatever.
Right.
You're like, okay, didn't really like the song. Yeah. You sound manufactured. They're yeah. trying to make you sound like everybody else. You don't even believe the words that you're saying, and you probably don't even do the things that you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a big thing when it comes to me, and I'm pretty sure to the both of you too, there's a thing called authenticity when it comes to music. And
come on, Kenny, you know, talk about it.
Well, you know, I'm not gonna talk about it a lot, because this is a show about you. But there's a big thing about authenticity, and if you lack that, like, your art will suffer.
Mm.
And if you force yourself to be like in the box,
yeah,
or if you force yourself to color within the lines,
yeah, yeah.
No, and you want to color outside the line. Right. Just let yourself fly right. free. Just let it go.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Then color outside the lines. Mm-hmm. Think outside the box. Because
Absolutely.
You will literally set your soul free doing
Absolutely.
That. And you won't hate yourself.
Right.
For thinking within the box.
Right.
And that's I've taken that approach to like everything pretty much I do on my artistic side of life. Is that, you know what? I'm not with your box. I'm not with checking off boxes.
Yeah.
I'm not with coloring within the lines. Because you know what? That bores me
right.
at the end of the day.
Right.
It bores me. And I could look myself in the face and be like, you know what? I'm dope at this shit.
Yeah.
Because I'd be like, no, I'm not. I'm like everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm like everybody else playing it cool, playing
Mm-mm.
it for the check.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you do all this. You get your first record deal. Could you tell me about a time when you were definitely on the come up and you were doing the show, the Idol show and everything? Mm-hmm. Was there a time within that period that you felt like just giving up?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I feel like giving up all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a human dream.
Oh, right. I feel that my biggest point of just throwing in the towel came... probably at the start of my PhD program. The PhD program, like, made me throw away everything I once knew, thought, believed. It literally made me trash everything. Made me reconsider all of my ideals, my beliefs when it came to my religious beliefs, right? When it came to, like, what my what my thoughts are pertaining to, like, family, culture, just society as a whole, music, right? Why I'm doing music. It just made me question everything. And then I came to a point where I'm like, I don't want to do music anymore. I don't want to do religion anymore. Fuck, I don't want to do, I don't want to be with, be around people anymore. I just came to that point and I was so miserable and depressed because there was something happening inside of me. And no one was able to see that because I was just on the surface really happy.
So you're wearing a mask?
Absolutely. I was wearing a mask. I was medicated all the time. I was just like caffeinated all the time. And it was crazy because I was just going through this inner turmoil. And that's when I felt like giving up the most. Well, I did for a period of time.
Can I ask what you pursued your PhD in and what made you
go down? I wanted to pursue higher education because I wanted to be able to contribute a piece of work to the world. And I wanted to be able to contribute a working method of music therapy or music psychotherapy for people to be able to take and use to better themselves. And that's why I wanted to contribute that. And I realized that if you're going to be if you're going to contribute something to the world, you need to be able to do the work within yourself first. And that oftentimes, if not all the time, is very painful, is very ugly, and it's very long. I'm actually still going through that process, but I'm infinitely better because I've gone through that process. And I actually, that was what my whole pilot study was about. My pilot study was experiencing the impacts of visualizing multiple voices of yourself. So I visualize four versions of myself singing, and I experience all of the vibrational impacts from that. You know when you see a piece of art, right? And you like look at it, and sometimes you feel stuff from looking at the art, right? Or listening to a piece of music, right? Like it touches you a certain way.
You can see colors.
You sometimes you could see colors, and when you listen to a piece of music, it touches you a certain way, right? And you don't know really how to explain it. Sometimes it makes you cry. Sometimes it makes you feel. Sometimes it makes you feel horny. Sometimes it makes you feel like being in love.
I mean, you can look at Cynthia when you say horny. Shit.
I'm sorry. Sometimes it makes you feel horny. Sometimes it makes you feel. Sometimes it makes you want to be in love. It makes you feel. It makes you feel a slew of emotions.
And angry. I mean.
Sometimes it makes you want to, you know, fuck shit up, right? Right. All of these things are valid when we look at a piece of work or when we hear a piece of work, right? So I actually take four versions, four unique versions of myself, and I put it in one collage, one synchronized collage, and I view it over and over and over for months and months and months, and I just jot down all of the impacts that I feel from it, and I write empirical knowledge, just very empirical. I don't write about feelings. I don't write about, I just write simply about what's happening in the moment. These voices are breathing together. They're singing in harmony. One is, you know, singing louder than the other. One is coming in while the other is not singing. Mm-hmm. And from this empirical knowledge, simply empirical knowledge, then I write a reflection and a summary from it. So it's rather art based and very abstract,
but there's complex.
Very complex. Mm-hmm. But I've learned so much about myself through that complex and very empirical process.
So I consider emotions to be data or empirical data. Is that the empirical data you're referring to?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay. So I gather empirical data from this heuristic research that I did, heuristic on myself. Mm-hmm. So now that I've done this on myself, I now want to do it with others and help, not help, but see what others come up with when they actually sit down with different versions and voices and see what comes up for them. Yeah. What comes up for you when you see 5-6 versions of yourself singing? Do you experience, you know, for me, it helped me uncover different, it helped me settle, like, discomfort. It helped me get to a better place with my identity. That's what it helped me with. What does it help you with? You know, what does it help you with? That's what I'm, that's what this dissertation will be about.
Oh, so you're still working on it? Because the last time I saw you, you just started.
I started my pilot study, so it'll... Now I'm moving into the dissertation.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what the dissertation will focus on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What do other people experience?
Yeah. So, you know? So Dr. Lee's coming, y'all, and we're going to make the flyer and she'll be doing the show.
Listen, once I'm done, man, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. I'm going to have all the Henny tea in the world.
We will be there to toast that up.
Absolutely, man. Listen.
Promise y'all on that for sure. So, so with all that said, with all the work that you've done for a while now, how have you incorporated Korean culture into the sounds that you give the world?
I haven't.
Okay.
I'm just being completely honest. Mm-hmm. So when I look at the work that I'm doing, I don't think it's Korean. Mm-hmm. I don't think it has a color. I don't think it has a specific culture. I think it's just universal. Yeah. And I'm trying to make it as universal as possible so that at the end of the day, we can all experience what this work is supposed to do, which is to empower and heal and bring everyone closer together. I do acknowledge that there's work that is meant to empower our individual culture, right? And bring awareness to our individual culture, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a great thing, right? Yeah. If I'm teaching the Korean language to people who are unfamiliar with the Korean language, that empowers the Korean culture, right? Mm-hmm. But the work that I'm specifically doing is to heal, empower, and bring together the collective conscious. Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, that's one thing that's kind of incredible about music. Music is almost like sports. It brings everyone together.
Right.
You know, especially good music, not the like really hateful music, but but music in general is kind of like this like unilateral elixir that you know calms a savage beast, that gives hope to the hopeless. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That gives love to the people that don't have love, that gives courage to the people that don't have courage. Right. So it does like these very incredible things. So like when you do listen to something and you close your eyes, like it can take you wherever you want to go, if you want to go.
Right. And I think there's a special calling for singers, musicians, artists in general, right? Creatives in general.
Yeah.
We're commissioned to bring consciousness together, right? So there isn't a specific color or a specific what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think there's like a specific What's the word? Help me.
Help me. Genre.
Right. Yeah. For me, this mm-hmm. is just my narrative.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a specific culture that I'm looking to bring out. Right. Yeah. I just want to bring it together. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I want to do.
So in talking about bring that together, of course, you know, because this is just the kind of questions I ask. So let's flip that on its head. What's the biggest misconception you get when you're trying to deliver your vision?
That I can't. That's the biggest misconception, that I'm not able to because of the way I look, whether it's because I am a woman or whether it's because I'm Korean or whether it's because, you know, I'm not young enough or old enough, right? Mm. And I really want to break all of those misconceptions or those notions, right? And I am. I believe that I am. Mm-hmm. I'm doing my best.
No, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. And that's all I can do.
Yeah.
I can do my best. And that's having that tunnel vision, right? If I look to the side of me, I see Cynthia. So I might be comparing myself to Cynthia. If I look to the right of me, I see Kenny. And I might be comparing myself to Kenny. But if I look straight and I see what I'm doing, I see that I'm doing my best. And that's all I can do.
That's all you can ask.
That makes 100% sense. The crazy thing about the stigmatisms, I think, like, there's actually no perfect way to be, right? Because you can't be too young, you can't be too old, you can't be too short, you can't be too tall, you can't be too skinny, but you can't be too big. And you can't, so it's like, what do y'all expect? You know what? I'm just be me.
Just be you.
And deal with that.
Just be you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's one thing that just drives me absolutely crazy. So also, you know, well, some of these people might not know that you're also a songwriter, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's your creative process when you're coming up a song? Like, do you just write songs on the subway like most creative people? Or do you write songs when you're in the bathroom like some people? Like, bring us into your creative process.
I wish I could give you like this like deep, profound.
No, we're not looking for nothing. Maybe
yeah, I just write anywhere, everywhere. Sometimes I'll write on the train.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll write in the shower.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll write. This has been an ongoing thing, which I'm really, really grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll sleep and I'll be dreaming and I'll hear
music
and I'll hear some lyrics and I'll have pen and paper next to me. I'll always have my phone next to me and I'll like hum and I'll jot down the words and it's the most amazing feeling to wake up to the music that you've been dreaming about. Yep.
It is.
It's such an awesome feeling.
Yeah,
and I feel like I've been in this like other dimension or like this other universe. Mm-hmm. And I completely believe in that thing. But that's another discussion for another time. But yeah, I'll come back to where, you know, I am in the present moment. I'll just write it.
Yeah, I keep my phone by my bed. And sometimes the stuff I come up with are rants. And I just, because I think about like the work I do. And,
bro.
You know, by the representation of people. And then I'll just normally like speak into it since I don't have my context in.
Yes.
So I'm using like the voice recorder.
Yes.
And like da 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 da. And some of the most prolific stuff I've said, you know, like comes out of like dreams.
Yes.
Or a case maybe. Or maybe it's like the first three sentences. And then like I build it in after that. But yeah, it's the creative awakening is a beautiful thing.
Yes. Y'all, if I could give y'all any advice, record your dreams. If you wake up in the morning, you could still remember your dream, like voice note your dream. Because, we be saying some stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, but I won't front. There is a lot of stuff I've lost because I'm too lazy.
Don't be lazy, y'all.
Yeah. I'll be like, oh, this is so good. I just don't feel like reaching over and saying, yeah, so this is the problem. So that's how that works. What do you think is missing from music right now, and how can it be fixed?
Man, everybody wants to go with the wave. Everybody wants to, like, everybody wants to go with the wave. Just, I feel like if you can just be true to your higher self and what, and the music that is inside of you, and it could sound like complete gibberish and nonsense, and it could sound like complete throwback. Mm-hmm. Like you could be singing a cover, and it could sound like 20s music. Yeah. If that is the sound of you at the moment, like stick with that.
Yeah.
And that's what's missing.
I think that's how the Migos were born.
Oh, yeah.
With the gibberish.
And you know, and look where they are right now.
I know, exactly.
Everybody's chasing that wind right
like,
now.
Jibbity, 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 jibbity.
Right.
Hot and banana, hot cocoa.
Right.
Banana,
right.
Pudding, banana, pudding, banana.
And they are authentic. I got to give it to them. They are authentic to what they are doing. And they're creating that lane for other rappers who are into that, you know?
I mean, to even date back, you know, before the Migos, like when I was like junior high school, maybe close to beginning high school, I mean, there was a rap group called Das FX.
Uh-huh. And, oh, okay.
You know, and it, this is,
are we going
this
that
is
back?
Like 20 years
that far
before
back?
Migos, but, you know, it was the diggity diggity and bum stickity bum stickity
right,
bum, and,
right.
you know, literally mm-hmm. almost doing like nursery rhymes
right.
Through their raps. And I mean, but they were a really, really great, mm-hmm. actually hardcore mm-hmm. rap group. You know, for the little kids that don't know who Das FX are, look them up. They're probably definitely on iTunes. But the crazy thing that other rappers started mimicking that style, and like everyone was like, oh, the Miggity Mac and Diggity Doo or whatever.
Right.
So
right.
like they had started it, but it caught on and it mm-hmm. held down hip hop for a good minute, and then mm-hmm. Biggie and Tupac came around. They're like, that shit is whack. But a lot of rappers were doing it. A lot of rappers were just taking what they created. And Das FX talks about this in a couple of interviews here and there. Like, yeah, we started this style, and everybody ran with it.
Right.
Everybody ran with it. So you know, it's to each his own. And everything at first does sound like something that's being mumbled, and you can't really understand.
Yeah.
But there's a certain beauty to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And no shade to the Migos. I mean, I don't.
No shade whatsoever. Like,
much.
Do your thing.
But you know,
absolutely.
Do you get paid? And you
absolutely.
Should, but you should have trademarked the mumble shit.
Like, stick to the music. Or, like, sing the music of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Put that on a t-shirt. Put that on a t-shirt. We always like say put that on a t-shirt when there's like a
sing
put it
the
on
music
a t-shirt
of your
quote
heart.
On the show. How important is representation in your line of work?
Representation. In what sense?
In the sense of maybe there's too many male artists crowding the scene, or maybe mm-hmm. there's too many artists of a certain type, or maybe a certain background. Like, how important is it for like everyone to kind of have a go at it?
You know, there is literally room
mm-hmm.
for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to music, art, and the culture,
there is
literally room for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Especially these days now that a lot of things have been
democratized. Yeah, with technology, right?
Yes, you know, there's room for everybody.
You can go viral off a YouTube video.
Now, we talked about this the last time we were together, because I probably asked you the same question, but it's like there's room for everyone, right?
Uh-huh.
But then it's like a needle in a haystack.
Sure.
Right.
Because there's so many places where you can find unsigned artists. So if you're trying to find, not say you're trying to sign someone, mm-hmm. but like you're trying to find something that you like, something that you can connect to. But now there's music on every single platform.
Yeah.
So it makes it harder for you to kind of find
mm-hmm.
what you like or what kind of artists you can connect to. Because back when it was just like the radio,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It's like whatever was on there, that's pretty much how it went. There wasn't really mm-hmm. that much of an outlet for unsigned people.
I'll go back to this, though.
Yeah.
I believe that artists like myself,
mm-hmm.
We don't do it to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
We do it because we really, really, really love it.
Yeah.
So if we're going to be heard, we're going to be heard one day, whether it be now, whether it be 10 years from now,
mm-hmm.
someone's going to hear us,
mm-hmm.
right? So we just do it because we love it,
mm-hmm.
right? And we don't advertise ourselves because we're like hungry for the money we're doing it because we genuinely want people to share
mm-hmm.
this like loving, awesome experience with us
mm-hmm.
because it's so full of love, joy, happiness that we put into creating this.
Mm-hmm.
And we just like want people like you mm-hmm. and you to like share in on this joy with us.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, it's a needle in a haystack.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it can be if we look at it that way,
mm-hmm.
right? But for artists like us, we just love to do it, man.
Cool.
You know what I mean?
So this is part of the interview when I kind of ask you a question. Like, so let's say listening or maybe watching, because there's actually like a couple people watching. I don't know if they're still watching, but hey.
Hi.
Let's say there's someone that was in your situation when you were younger. You know, you were stuck in between these two worlds. They're stuck in between maybe two worlds, maybe even three worlds.
Worlds,
you
know, of what?
Worlds. So like they're stuck playing piano.
Okay.
And you know, they're doing vocal lessons.
Okay.
And they're doing a sport too. Okay. So even like three worlds, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They have like this triangle.
Yeah, yeah.
In which they know in their heart they really know where they
get
to.
Yeah.
But there's obligations.
Yeah.
You know, there's faithfulness. There's being loyal.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
to the people that have busted their ass to get you to actually have three options of things that you could probably pursue.
Yeah.
How do they break out of that?
Meditate.
Okay.
I'm sorry. That, I kid you not, for everyone that is listening, watching, hear, meditate.
Okay.
Meditation is the answer to everything. You can call it QT for those of you who are, you know, of that, you know, faith, you know, Christian faith, whether it be prayer, meditation, like go within, because the answers are all there. I wish I discovered meditation maybe like 5 years, 6 years sooner, because once I tapped into meditation, my life infinitely better. Like when you can sit down, just like silence your brain, like silence like all the noise and just like go within, like all the answers are there. And you're looking for direction, you're looking for answers, you're looking for just, I feel lost, what should I do? Your answers are within, like your higher self, you know.
Yeah.
You know, like your gut feeling, remember? Like,
if
there's a time where you're like, you know, I shouldn't really do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And later on, you're like, I should have. That.
Yeah.
It all exists within us.
Put it on a t-shirt.
Yeah. It all exists.
Go with your gut.
Yeah. Go with your gut. It all exists within. Yeah. So meditate. Meditate. That's all.
What books are you reading right now? Or is she just reading one? Nothing wrong. I'm reading one that I've been reading for the last year and a half.
You know, I don't really read too many books.
Okay.
I actually listen to a lot of podcasts.
Well, that was my second question.
Yeah.
What podcasts are you listening to?
Revisionist History.
Okay.
Malcolm Gladwell.
Okay.
I listen to a lot of Soul Series by Oprah.
Okay.
That's my ish.
Okay.
TED Talks Daily.
Okay.
Is also my thing. The YouTube channel, Your Universe, is my thing.
Okay.
I listen to podcasts by Aaron Dowdy.
Okay.
A lot of like, I don't want to say law of attraction because that's definitely not it, but a lot of like alignment.
Okay.
Right? A lot of like intentional, like setting your intentions, like paradigm shifting, like Bob Proctor.
Okay.
Right. Like I'm into that stuff.
Okay. Very interesting. So all those ones, just rewind it back to kind of hear all the ones that she said, because she said a lot of them.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure they're all pretty wonderful, especially the ones about alignment. We're all
about that. Yeah. One more.
Yeah.
Alan Watts.
Yeah.
Yeah, big on Alan Watts.
Henny with Kenny.
And Henny with Kenny.
Yeah. So, this is probably going to be the last question that I have for you. What was the best piece of advice you ever received?
Wow. Best piece of advice I've ever received. Oh, man. You know, I received this recently. I'm going to shout him out because I love him.
Shout him out.
He's also another big bro of mine, Philip Cook.
Okay.
We used to go to church together.
Okay.
Yeah, I still keep in contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, when you follow, it was like something along these lines. Like, when you follow your purpose, right, everything else falls into place. So you don't have to worry about anything else. Like, just everything, like, falls into place. So when you know your calling, right? When you know your calling and what you're, like, born to do, right? you follow your purpose, everything else falls into place. I really feel like that was the best advice I've ever received. Mm-hmm. Because I'm always worried about, like, what's my next move? What's my next job? Yada, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Keep going.
Oh.
I mean that makes total... I mean, it makes total sense. Yeah. That makes total sense because I feel like we have to live and move in this life from a place of purpose.
Yeah.
You know, in a place of passion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're not moving with those two, you're not really moving at all.
Yeah.
You know, and it's applying those two P's, just the purpose and passion, or passion and purpose, mm-hmm. to everything that you do, everyone you interact with.
Yeah.
Because, and when I say everyone you interact with, because then you can pick off the negative people that you don't want to give that real estate to up here and in here. You know what I mean? I think that that's so very important. And that's something that people kind of need to think about when they get stressed out.
Mm.
And when they get mental blocks, you know what I mean? Like, if you're blocked really that hard, you need to just remember that, you know, you're passionate about this.
Yeah.
And this is your purpose. And this is where, you know, not to get too religious on you, but this is where God is leading you. And it's not going to be easy, because a lot of motherfuckers think, oh, I'm so talented. This shit's just going to whip this shit up, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I talk to Sin all the time, like, hey, I don't know how this podcast is going or whatever. But then I'll see somebody and they'll be like, yo, that podcast you and Cynthia are doing, like, yo, that shit is funny, but y'all get deep sometimes.
Yeah,
and then, so that takes me out of, like, oh, well, I don't know how many downloads, because then I get into the numbers and then I'm...
No, don't get in.
Yeah.
Listen, do not get into numbers, because people, guess what? People are viewing your podcast, the Creative TV that you did from 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Right? So it doesn't matter about numbers. Mm-hmm. It's longevity, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you have longevity.
Yeah.
So don't worry about numbers. Yeah. And guess what? People are going to be looking at that Creative TV broadcast 20 years from now, 30 years from now. So, and that's longevity.
Yeah.
And that beats numbers.
Yeah.
All right?
We're going to be around with the roaches.
Yeah. So, if I could offer any kind of encouragement to you guys while I'm here on this podcast, is, you know your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Your purpose is so clearly defined.
Mm-hmm.
So just go in that direction and everything else will fall into place for you and for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to offer that encouragement to you guys while I'm here.
That's beautiful.
That was so beautiful. I mean, you bring the tea. We should just have you on every day. You're doing pretty well for your first podcast.
Let's say
you're handling
guys.
It like a pro. You're handling it like a pro. You are handling it like a pro.
Yeah.
So, at the end of the podcast, we just ask you to tell everyone, like, all the many wonderful ways they can find you.
Oh.
And also shout out the show again.
You can find me on Facebook. I'm most active there.
Mm-hmm.
Christina Lovely.
Yep.
You can find me on Instagram, Xtina Lovely. And that's really about it. Those two places.
Yeah, Instagram with the X.
X, Tina, lovely.
Yes.
Yeah, and thank you for having me.
And you're on Twitter, too.
No, I'm not, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
I was shouting out the wrong
one. Right, my bad. So those two places.
There's another X, Tina, lovely that got mad shout-outs today on Twitter.
Oh, my bad.
Well, you got a shout-out.
Maybe it's active. I don't know. Okay. But I'm here. And thank you for having me on Henny with Kenny.
This has been, you know, a pleasure, a privilege and a pleasure,
thank
as
you.
My old college professor would
thank
say,
you.
Dr. T.
Thank you.
It's been a privilege and a pleasure, and you handled yourself like a pro, and, you know, you answered all questions. Oh, but you didn't talk about who brought their cup but didn't chip in.
I don't. Love always. It makes me who I am today,
yeah.
And for that, I'm infinitely grateful.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Nothing but love.
Okay.
Yeah.
So those not giving love are the ones that brought their cup
go.
And then chip. So that answers your question. So if you ain't giving love, you don't get none of this special honey tea and get these.
Because
you ain't about the lovely right now. You know, you're not being lovely. You're being a fucking asshole.
Oh my God. I say that.
I said it. People know that Henny McKinney is rated PMF. So
yes, I heard.
Pardon my French.
I heard.
And, you know, we curse a lot. on the show. But for everyone, you know, that knows me, it's easy to find me. We do not give out Sin's information, but you can probably find her liking some of my tweets. But you find me at KENITHACKER on pretty much every single platform, because I just don't have a cool name where I can put an X in front of my name. But yeah, you can find me at Kenny Thacker at pretty much everything. And that's how it is. So, my sister, you know how I feel about you. I appreciate you more than words can say. Love you more than words can say. And thank you for being on Henning with Kenny. And definitely thank you for this tea.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We are out of here.
Thank you.
The two of the deuces.